Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping all the meat in the middle of the squared circle and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You have Matt, and you also have Jake. And no, Jake, don't cut what left you have. Please, save it. Don't cut your alfalfa hair. Okay.
Damn, got to put that alpha.
That's inspired by truth.
That's okay. Right? That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I'm more just being, you know, as a person who's follically challenged, I'm just being very mindful. You got to retain what you have. You know, we should get a Keep sponsorship at this point. welcome back to Rebook, everyone. We are, of course, coming at you live from the dystopian hellscape known as Los Angeles, at least for myself and Jake. As you can see, fire and brimstone all around us.
He's in Chicago. We're basically in the two worst locations.
Yeah,
in
it
America.
Was a mini version of that. Couple days before in the south loop here.
Yeah and by the way,
don't worry,
and that was only because someone put ketchup on a hot dog.
Yeah, but ketchup is good on hot dogs.
Oh yeah, but it's the one thing not allowed on Chicago.
You
dog.
Don't do it.
I
oh,
like
Chicago,
it
yeah Chicago dog I that's fine. Yeah, I could do that.
I'm heathen. I love ketchup on a dog. I'm the ultimate.
I love ketchup on a dog too.
I just had ketchup on a chicken nugget right. sandwich just a second ago before we recorded, so you know. Goes to show you.
Did your wife also cut up some grapes for you? What kind of lunch is that?
No, actually, it was apple slices. Thank you so much. Come on.
Yeah, there
goodness
you go.
Gracious. And on the side, yeah. un chiquitito Twix. You know, it's really right there. It's
sure.
so good. And it's so good. Yeah. All right, folks. Today, we are going to be talking about a whole mess of things. Because as you know, we've unified everything under one banner. We want to thank everyone, by the way, for tuning in to last week's
mega show debut.
And we feel pretty good about it, mostly because it kind of streamlined conversation, helped make things a little faster. If you have feedback on any of
and we have
stuff
shit
we're
to
doing,
do,
and that's
we have shit to do, people.
Jake just worked IGN right? Live. I'm going to be going to Toronto on Thursday for Valorant Masters, and you know Matt's always going around somewhere, taking a shirt off, fighting people in the middle of the squared circle, and you know. Getting all sweaty.
Even when he's not invited.
I'm not doing that. I'm drinking whiskey. So.
Yeah, or that too. Which, by the way, Matt, I've been seeing more of
usually,
your whiskey
usually one
videos.
Causes the other.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I know. I started up my whiskey content again. So
yeah, good. I'm glad. In the pipe. What do you, so if for the non-whiskey drinker, just give me the elevator pitch real fast. I'm going to Toronto. So maybe they have some nice whiskey in Toronto. Any
suggestions? Whiskey's very nice.
Okay.
Yeah, Canadian whiskey is very good. Generally, rye whiskey. Canadian for a long time was kind of like considered lower shelf and stuff like that because the industry hit a bit of a low point. Like Crown Royal and stuff took over. It's all anybody ever knew. But
interesting.
They're really, really good. They actually
Canadian
come
Club.
A long way. Canadian Club was like in like the 60s, 70s. That was
yeah,
the
it was
shit.
Big.
Canadian
but
Club.
But then now it's like bottom shelf. Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah.
And but they've brought back some higher end releases, and there's a lot of other like smaller Canadian companies that have gotten bigger and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know what
Canadian is some good really good rye whiskey.
What I like
the rye plant, the rye crop grows better in colder climates where it's a little bit as opposed
yeah,
to the
on.
Warmer more temperate climates oh, of yeah. the United States and especially particularly south, but that's why you see a lot of rye coming from places like Canada, even northern Europe. Germany has some wonderful rye crops. You'd be
Ooh.
Surprised.
Ooh. How does the terrace
some of
affect
the southern
rye?
Scandinavians? I'm still talking. Let
well,
me I'm kidding. Let's move on. Wrestling with whiskey if you want to come nerd out with me.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's cool. And I always think it's awesome when I enjoy hearing the terminology. You were using some word expression or something like that, I think was one
yeah,
of the words.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does that mean? I thought that was.
It's like vintage.
Oh.
You know, like when people talk about wine, it's like, oh, it's like a 2014 vintage, a 12-year expression. It just, it means liquid.
Why expression?
Because that's how the artist that
because
is the blender or distiller is expressing to you how this tastes.
Interesting. Yeah, no,
it's a very common beverage term. Yeah.
You know, we used to pour whiskey on open wounds, and now it's become this.
Fun fact. I know our intros get long. But literally, in old medicinal journals from the 1800s, The medical advice for a snake bite was, I believe it was, drink up to 2 quarts. Quarts of whiskey. And because the logic was, drink up to 2 quarts of whiskey, you will vomit. That means it's working. They didn't think it was because you were too drunk. They were like, that's because the medicinal part of it is working. It is getting the poison out. And then drink another quart after that to settle yourself down. That was legitimate medical journal in the 1800s.
And they wonder why the United States turned out the way it did. Oh, man.
Hey, maybe we should get back to that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Bottle and Bond Act passed before the Clean Food and Drug Act of 1905. Bottle and Bond, 1897.
That's crazy. That is, but also not shocking. I watched The Great Gatsby.
It says a lot.
I see how crazy they were for all this stuff. Prohibition, those people, they lost their damn mind the moment they got the taste of
Red Dead Redemption 2. I know.
Yeah. We got a lot going on in AEW, so much so that it's all packed into massive 4-hour shows. We had Fighter Fest, which holds a special place in my heart because I got to commentate the very first Fighter Fest, and it did not disappoint. This was a Fighter Fest worthy of the name, I will go as far as to say. We had some big things coming out of this one because, fellas, we're finally freaking vindicated. Matt, it's happening. Okada versus Kenny Omega. It's going down for the whatever they're going to call it, but it's winner take all.
Winner take all, yeah.
Did you think they waited too long on this, or is it like to announce it, or is this a good timing?
If it was after this, I would have said they waited a little too long. I don't think it's bad. I would have maybe liked to. I would have had it shortly after the initial stare down.
Yeah.
That said, I still think it's pretty cool. Yep, we're going to get the contract signing on the next 4-hour special,
which we'll talk about.
Yeah. But no, it's really cool. The big question now, so we know what's happening. Great. But the question will be, will this be an official, something is getting dissolved, or are we getting Roman Reigns carrying around 2 belts for 3 years kind of thing again? You know what I mean?
I think that I have a theory, but I think that they're going to dissolve the Continental, maybe call the International something, you know, like a unified international championship or something like that. And then we're going to get the women's tag titles. Announced.
What happens to the Continental Classic, though?
I think it becomes the tournament for the I think it retains the name, but it's for the International Championship, for the Unified International Championship.
You don't think they would just call it the Intercontinental?
I mean, they could. That's funny. Honestly, I wouldn't be mad about that. that would be really funny.
The internet would have a field day. I hate using that term, and I hate saying stuff like that, but like, they would. I mean, God bless it. I'm surprised TNA didn't get more when we introduced our international title. But
the thing is, there were international titles before, right?
It's just that
you know, AEW managed to take the name and kind of make it their own. Although I will argue, you know, okay, I got it, boys. I fucking got it. Didn't mean to curse 10 minutes into. Actually, we're past 10 minutes, so we're good. Okay, I got it. What if you call it the All Atlantic Championship again? Come on!
It doesn't cover enough oceans.
Oh, it doesn't cover all the oceans. No,
it's got to be more than one. It's got to be at least 3 oceans.
Damn it. We got maybe call the Tri-Ocean Championship. Actually,
the Inter-Oceanic title.
The Inter-Oceanic title. Actually, Inter-Oceanic sounds
can only be
sick.
Defended at sea.
The Pangea Championship.
Pangea Championship. Dude.
Who's the Pangean champion?
These are good names, and we're just pooping out gold right now. So that's That's how I think about it. But yeah, so this is happening. We're finally going to get this unification, winner take all. We'll find out what it is, I'm sure, on Dynamite in some capacity. Surely they'll say or lean one way or another. But I did want to talk about those the 4 hour long episodes littered with awesome multi-man matches. But we were talking about this before we recorded. This feels like anime filler. You know, before the big arc happens, right? And sure. I'm kind of okay with that because WWE does that too. Like, everyone has their anime filler episodes. I just didn't expect it to come from a 4 hour TV episode. It was fun though. It was fun.
Like there was some good wrestling.
Yeah.
But it was just a lot of wrestling matches.
Yeah. Just a lot of wrestling.
It was kind of like, it kind of just felt like an extended Saturday night's main event, if I will. To use in the idea that, like, there's just matches.
Yeah.
Story isn't pushed crazy forward outside of a few events that we talk, you know, the international and continental title is one of them. And a little bit on Osprey and Hangman and all that stuff a little bit. But other than that, it was just like good wrestling matches. No titles changed hands. No huge story beats. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Good stuff, but it just kind of happened.
And I correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a result of the finals, right? The NBA finals? Or am I?
I believe. Well,
I don't know. I don't know what the.
Because the NBA, the finals are on ABC and ESPN.
Oh, interesting. Wonder why they're moving away. Is there another big show this weekend? I don't think so. Unless this is just how the cookie crumbled and this is just the nature of it. But regardless, I mean, we're getting another 4 hour episode, people. It's happening again. Matches look sick though. We got some fun things in here, like we mentioned before. The contract signing between Okada and Kenny Omega. We're also going to see Tony Storm versus Julia Hart. We'll talk about Will Ospreay and Strickland in a second here. Hey, TJ's back. Ty Mello's back. That was a cool one. Again, I'm convinced, guys, we're getting this tag team championship. It's too coincidental at this point. You have way too many teams that are wearing same attire. Come on. It's ripe for the... Right for the picking. We also got a really cool trios matchup that is going to be happening. Hurt Syndicate versus Speedball Mike Bailey, Commander, and Kevin Knight. That should be another fun one. Anthony Bowens versus Kyle Fletcher. That one should be exciting. We're seeing Tekla some more with Queen Aminata. But let us talk about the big one here because we got it. Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay. This one's got some storyline implications because the point of this is that Will's trying to get Swerve to align and be on the side of Hangman as he takes on the Death Riders and Jon Moxley for the World Championship All In.
And there's no better way to convince someone to join your side than by beating the shit out of them. So
true. This is true.
You got to beat him into line. We'll talk more about that with TNA. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
I do commercials in the middle of the show.
So good. So you should get paid for that. I guess my wonder is how would you like this to finish? But how would you book the finish rather, crazy, given where the story is right now? Like where we are currently.
I think I'd have Ospreay win and it just pushes Swerve further away. Like, okay. I just think that's what makes sense to me with the character of Swerve. If he wins, he proved himself right. Yeah. If he loses, he still kind of feels like he's proved himself right. Like, I'm not going to just do something because I don't know. That just feels like the character of Swerve to me. I feel like either way, what's going to happen going into All In is Swerve is not going to be helpful. He's not going to care about any kind of partnership, nothing. And then at the 11th hour, here he comes running in to save the day at All In. I feel like that's what's going to end up happening. And that's honestly probably how I would book it. I think that's more interesting, more compelling, is having the question leading up to All In of what is Swerve going to do if Swerve does anything? I mean, it's also kind of interesting if he comes down to the ring at All In and you're still like, I'm not sure what he's going to do here.
Yeah.
I think that's more interesting and more compelling. So that's probably how I'd book it.
Okay. I like that. That's pretty cool. Matt, what about you? What's your take?
I like that, especially again, I feel like I've said this so many times. We're getting less, but like we still have over a month.
Meat on the bone.
Oh, ooh, right. Well, no, I was just saying time. So my head time. Was going the same kind of place where I'm like, all right, I think Swerve will get there, but I don't know. But like in my head, I'm like, if it's gonna be, I'm like, it's either gotta be at the event itself or way closer, like the week before. And I'm like, if he just buddies up now and we have 4 or 5 weeks of Team Hangman, it feels overplayed. I could see a scenario. This is almost more like not my fantasy booking, but a fantasy booking would be like something akin to like if they wanted to pull the trigger on it. I do think Ospreay wins regardless. It's because he lost last year or whatever, so I think it'd be nice to have them even. But maybe Death Riders make their presence known during Ospreay and Swerve, and just like, and but this time Hangman saves Swerve from getting like on purpose, because there was the last time during Swerve's title match where Hangman came out, and then later he was like, yeah, I did think about taking your head off and all this stuff, but this time he's 100% there to back up Swerve and save him from Mox or Claudio or whoever the hell.
Yeah.
And then it kind of shocks Swerve into maybe shaking his hand and I pissing him, whatever.
I like both versions of this. I like Jake's version that kind of drags it, makes it feel like it's, you know, like will he, won't he kind of thing. But then I also like your version. And I was actually, my mind was leaning more toward your version, Matt, only because I think it'll be really cool to see Hangman come out, save them, and then Swerve just be like, no, man, like, what are you talking about? So you kind of like get this combo of both of them. You get to drag it on a little bit longer, but maybe like, you know, going into All In where Swerve stands rather than like it being a mystery. But also it being a mystery could be compelling to Jake's point, right? But I think you're both kind of you're both like on the money in where I think this could go with the ending and also with what happens tonight, you know, which I think is going to be very, very interesting. You know, there's definitely more to discuss with this. But for right now, I think we'll just leave it there because we really don't know what is going to happen here. Anything can happen, especially when you talk about the Death Riders. So for now, we will let that rest. Let us talk real quick. I did want to cover one final thing. And that was just about Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné, because that's our other big title match. It's going to be heading into All In. I didn't write notes for it, but I did want to mention it because we're going to hear Mercedes Moné on commentary. And Toni Storm is going to have a match with Julia Hart. I'm really hoping for that one, we actually start to get a little bit more direction outside of it just being, I want to beat you and I want to be better. That's my only complaint, but it's so early that I'm not going to like, you know, be like, oh, you know, hurry up. Cause to your point, Matt, we have a month, we have a long time. Did you guys have anything on Toni and Mercedes, that you kind of, that it maybe sticks out to you, Jake, or is there, or are you kind of just like, oh, you know, like,
not yet, just waiting to see.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. It's a lot of wait and see. And the thing is with these 4-hour episodes, you would like to see a little bit of progress, but I guess it's just such a long show, you know?
Yeah.
You don't fill a lot of time. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to see in these 4-hour shows, take advantage of your block. And not every, you can't do this with a bunch of stories, but have one or two like threads that like you could do throughout the night, as opposed to just like segment one, that's done. Segment two. And then I'm not talking about like a 2-minute backstage. It's just like, hey, you had a match. How did that go? Or like, I'm stumped. Like you have 4 hours. You could do a beginning, middle, and end in the pace.
I agree.
In the scope of one show.
There should be some through line.
Someone in the mid card where they have an entire arc over the course of 4 hours.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I remember they did that on Collision with Powerhouse Hobbs and Claudio Castagnoli. No, was it Powerhouse Hobbs and maybe it was Lance Archer? I don't remember. But Big Bill. They had their big the big meaty men slapping meat match. And that was like a through line all throughout Collision. It started in the beginning of the episode. They met in the parking lot. They beat the crap out of each other. They had another run in halfway through the show. And then they finally concluded with them just all hell breaking loose out in the arena. I'm with you on that. I think like wrestling is truly like wrestling TV is at its best when the episode stands on its own two feet as an entertaining product in of itself outside of the scope of the grander story. Does that make sense? It's kind of like how I feel about like MCU movies, where like if the movie can't stand on its own, you know, as a film, and it's there is just to push me to the sequel.
You want a self-contained story.
Yeah, I like you can still push me to the sequel, but give me a story. give me something to close out with, you know. Well, moving on, let's go ahead and talk about TNA, because Against All Odds was last week, and we had some fun moments. We had some returns, both you know, human and inanimate object. It was pretty great. First, let's start with the big one, man. The inspiration is back, Matt. That's exciting.
That is. We've been very lucky with having an influx, and I think we did need it, of Knockouts talent. In general, we have then the new additions of from over the pond of Harley Hudson and Myla Grace, which I think that'll be nice as they get more and more established.
Mm-hmm.
The Inspiration are back, which is really cool. They're fantastic. They're so entertaining. The fact that they came back and immediately face off with the Elegance brand, I mean, that is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's going to be so many fun segments. With those teams, sure. I can only I froth at the mouth at what could be coming down the pipe.
It could be very like, you know, one of those like no pun intended, but iconic feuds. You know,
it could be absolutely
just because of the type of characters that they have. So, Jake, how quickly would you get the Knockouts titles on them? Would you keep it for a while on the Elegance brand? I think you should, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think you should keep it on them for a while, but I think you definitely need to establish a rivalry quickly. I mean, this is like, you need to have two cliques of Mean Girls going at it for a while.
That's so good.
I mean, really, it will be endlessly entertaining. All the promos that they're going to cut, you know, the stunts that they're going to pull on one another backstage, even in the ring, like it's going to be so great. Like it's really going to, you know, it's the rising tide lifts all ships, right? So this is going to make everyone step their game up in the Knockouts division. And yeah, I completely agree. Like this is really bolstered that division so much and really makes you more excited for the future of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Where have they just been gone?
They haven't been doing anything. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
As far as I know, they've just been modeling.
Oh, wow. They've been moms. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, I mean,
Cassie had two kids.
Whoa. Yeah. What?
Like two separate kids. Jesse had a kid. And and then they started training about 8-9 months ago.
Wow.
Kind of just get back in the swing of things. And then ready to go and
forced a little human out of their bodies multiple and then they're back in fuck just absolute form. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. That is impressive. Good on them.
Yeah, man.
That's a lot of work. That's not easy.
No kidding.
I'm struggling to just
hardest
get up
job
and
on
do
earth.
Sit-ups in the morning. So, you know, like that's truly, truly fascinating Real. Stuff. But there was another thing that happened at Against All Odds that sets us on the path, hopefully, to Slammiversary, Matt, which was Leon's freaking Slater finally got the damn pin onto Moose that he's needed. Surely this is it, man. Surely this is it.
So we diverted after Rebellion, which I didn't love that we kind of diverted away from that. But we're back.
We're back, baby.
Leon pinned Moose in that big 8-man tag team match, and I mean, We've already taped some of it. Like I said, I do have spoiler alerts for those who want it. But like, let's just say, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Oh yeah, we're heading in that path. Ooh. So you know, Leon clearly has his eyes set. You'll hear more on Thursday, and I think this could be a really great rivalry heading into one of our biggest shows of the year.
Yeah, it's exciting, man. Hopefully. Leon Slater, it feels so right for it, especially considering X Division title hasn't really seen a lot. It's seen some play, but it has been kind of in the background a bit as of late. So it's just going to be nice to...
It's cool, too, because... Yeah. And thanks to Tom for, like, bringing these... He's a big stats guy. And so, like, an kind of, like, underlying storyline within the storyline, too, mm-hmm. is that, like... I don't know exactly where we'll be at Slam. I think he would have to go a little bit after Slam, but we're on the verge of like two records, actually.
Oh.
Technically speaking, with if Leon wins at Slammiversary, you know, assuming we're going there. he would be the youngest X Division champion ever at 20 years old.
Wow.
He turns 21 in the fall.
Like, I can't even drink.
And then Moose just, I believe, moved into second place for longest reign as X Division champion.
Wow.
So I think he has to go like 70 more days to surpass Austin Aries. Something like that. But I think he's moved into second place already as of now. So Moose is trying to get through that to become the longest reigning and greatest X Division champion ever.
Yeah.
Leon's trying to become the youngest. So some kind of records on the line.
I think, honestly, man, knowing that, it moves that record.
I don't know, man.
Get moves the record and then Leon wins later.
You got to strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah.
True,
You don't want to bury a young upstart.
Saying that he's the greatest X Division champion of all time, just constantly reminding people that he's going to say it anyway. To have the actual accolade is kind of cool, you know. Right. I don't know.
That's what'll keep people guessing. Come Slammiversary.
I'm compelled. Oh, and then of course, Killer Kelly. She's back.
Yep.
She returned too. Yeah, here to maybe take on, definitely take on Masha Slamovich. I love her vibe, man. I think the look, it's very like brooding. It's awesome. What are you expecting out of this one, Matt? Should we be expecting just like a good match, potential story building up from here? What's your take?
I feel like this is going to be a stopgap, if you will. I don't think this is Slammiversary.
Okay.
I think this is something, it's a return. Let's kind of wrap this up, because you know, when she left, they were they had just kind of split up MK Ultra and everything like that as a tag team.
Yeah.
Because Kelly is another one. She had a baby as well last year.
Wow.
So she was doing that in addition to
something in the water in TNA.
Right? No kidding. And
Tom.
So Hicks. I think this will be a little bit maybe me. Who knows?
Okay.
I know. I think we'll get a match. I think it'll be on TV somewhere. And then I think that'll whatever happens there will launch us towards Slam. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Slammiversary is on July 20th.
July 20th.
So we are very, where's that gonna be at, by the way?
UBS Arena.
In Long Island.
Elmont, New York.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Okay, awesome, awesome. Fascinating result for sure at against all odds with Santino Marella, because he defeated Robert Stone to regain control as the director of authority of DNA.
That's right.
This one was... Well, firstly, I just... If we could just take a second to just talk about how freaking awesome Santino is again, just to, you know, I mean, the man is just crazy.
He still got it.
He still got it, man. Like I've been so busy this last week, so I didn't get the chance to see all the matches, but I saw the highlights of it. And it's just like, man, dude, if Santino wanted to keep wrestling, I don't think anyone would be bothered by it. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone.
He talked about it too. Like he, for a long time, part of the reason he wasn't is because he had neck surgery and stuff like that, and his things had really stiffened up. He kind of didn't think he could bump again.
Wow.
And he's done a lot of training. He did like random tag match, but like he hasn't had a singles match, I don't think, in a long, long time, or very few of them over the last several years. Because he's like, I just didn't think I could compete at that level and everything like that. But like, he's like, I feel this has shown me, this is, you know, behind the curtain kind of stuff, but that he feels better than he has in a long time. So it was really vindicating for him.
Amazing. Truly amazing. What do you think of the result, though, guys? What do you think that this was the right call? I mean, look, people love Santino. That goes without saying. So I don't think like if he lost or it doesn't like affect anything really big story wise. But I don't know. I was kind of like hoping to see a heel, you know, a director of authority for a little while, Jake. Yeah. And we ended up not getting that. What do you think?
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised that that's what the outcome was. I can't say yet if it's the right call, just because I want to see what happens. And just see what is they have in mind going forward with this. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. I did think that it would be very interesting to see this hostile takeover of TNA in a way, you know, this like Hydra like infiltration by NXT.
Yeah.
I think would have been really cool. I don't think that necessarily has to spell the end of the troubles that Santino faces with some people who come in. I was shocked that Matt Cardona did something right.
Yeah, right. You know? No, and that, you know, he was, Robert Stone tried to pay him off and he just kind of took the money because,
yeah,
who doesn't like free money?
Yeah.
Had a crisis of conscience and, got legitimately wanted to call it down the middle. Didn't want to abide by the cheating and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And hint, hint, that might give you a little of an idea of Matt Cardona's direction going.
Not enough people take the bribe and then just don't do what they've been paid to do. Like, no, like, why doesn't that happen more often?
I think it's the fear of
retaliation. If I was a judge, I would be taking. Yeah. But I'd be like, oh, go tell people. Yeah. Go tell people that you bribed me. Well, let's see how that turns out, jackass.
Yeah. I, on the show, I quoted the great Senator Clay Davis from the show The Wire, who says, I'll take any motherfucker's money if they've given it away.
Right.
I mean, you're handing cat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So while the match was called down the middle, we have to call what it is what it is. Okay, folks. Interference. Okay. Interference from the snake. Okay. The cobra returned.
Was back.
That was actually pretty fun. I love that. That it felt like this is this generation's Mr. Sacco, and it's so great. Mm-hmm. We had Mr. Sacco. Now there's the Cobra. It's nature's healing. It truly is. Maybe the next person can create an amalgamation of the two of them. There was a few big matches that happened on Against All Odds that we got to cover real fast. Trick Williams defeated Elijah for the TNA World Title, continuing his nefarious ways. But First Class coming in with the help again. Matt, are we seeing First Class show their true colors, and it ain't red and yellow?
So I mean, let's be honest, First Class have always just run as characters. They've been bad guys, they've been heels, they do what First Class did. They don't give a crap about anybody else. They're all about themselves. Although I'm curious to see more of it. It first started at NXT in the match with Mike Santana. Both members of First Class got involved there. And then at Against All Odds, AJ Francis got involved as well that night. So they're trying to buddy up. They're making no bones about it. They want to buddy up with Trick Williams, Trick NA, all this stuff. I'm curious to see if there's going to be an end game thing? Like, do they want Trick's help to win the tag titles? Because they've been pretty open in the past about wanting to win tag gold as a duo. So, like, maybe with his, you know, tricks, power, and his streak lately, they think he can kind of help make that happen for them. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours, kind of thing.
So you're saying tag titles. So you're saying that First Class wants a trick up their sleeve.
Ooh. They just might.
Who are the NXT tag champions right now?
Oh, come on.
Because honestly, that could be a fun
Nemeths.
One.
The Nemeths.
Sorry, NXT.
Oh,
NXT.
Gotcha.
Is it still Hank and Tank?
It could be. Yeah, it's Hank and Tank. Yeah, it is. You know. I mean, people like Hank and Tank, but you can also get a little bit of, you know, maybe.
So there's something we saw for the first time in this partnership. And WWE talent win a TNA title, and I have a feeling by the end of it, we'll see vice versa. But it's the one of the few divisions that we have where it's like, you could have both, in theory. You could have somebody win both.
Yeah.
Both. You know what both. I mean? Like,
I'm Nemeths curious if win both.
Or First Class, or maybe
First Class wins both. That's true.
Maybe
too.
Maybe they do. You know what I mean? Or something like that, as opposed to like, oh, they took one of ours, we take one of theirs.
Yeah.
Somebody could, I don't know. I'm curious to see if in this partnership, somebody will at some point hold gold in both WWE and TNA.
That'd be interesting.
It would be very interesting.
That would be super cool. Simply because it's like, I mean, outside of like the AEW, you know, TNA relationship, no TNA wrestler held an AEW title. It was so like, you know, you never really had that opportunity. It actually would be sick if they did it the other way. And you know, we talk about the story here on this podcast, but it also like as a fan, I think it would be nice to see TNA kind of get a little bit of a leg up in this partnership because it has felt quite, in my opinion, one-sided over the last couple of weeks. And look, all I'm going to say is, please, Mike Santana, please stay. Anyway, that's all I got. All right. There was another match, though, Matt, that I know you wanted to talk about because he continues to be probably the most compelling individual in TNA right now. And that is Mustafa Ali and what is going on over with Order 4. So why don't you go ahead and kind of give us the skinny on this situation, because it seems like it's hit a boiling point since Mustafa lost against Mike Santana when we were there at Rebellion. Yep.
Absolutely. So Ali continues, to your point, to be probably, as far as a storyteller with his matches and his character, I think probably, I mean, top tier, if not like the top of the mountain in TNA right now. And I can tell you, from my point of view, without, this is not coming from anywhere else, like post Rebellion, I don't know that there was anything solid in play for Ali and his faction, really.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, it was kind of a, we'll figure something out. And like, I now have an idea of where we're going heading towards Slam. But in those weeks in between, there wasn't really much. And so with Ali's input and his group's input, Order 4, they've told this story that has now given everybody in Order 4 a personality, a differing point of view, and like layered characters. They've gone from being lackeys to more defined characters.
Yeah.
So in that time, Ali has been kind of on a rampage after losing to Santana, just losing his mind. He was attacking people, going a little bit out of control. So it kind of started when Tasha Steelz, she's the press secretary, if you will, of the campaign. I mean, so she's getting worried because, like, all right, I can't spin this, is kind of the vibe. Mm. Like, you need to pull back a little bit. I can't spin this. You're a little out of control. So she's worried about making everybody look good. Then there's John Skyler, who's like, kind of, he's all for it. Screw it. Let's beat crap out of everybody. Hell yeah. Deeper, deeper, deeper. And Jason Hotch was kind of on the fence. He's like, I'm all for doing what we got to do, but like, holy crap, this is a bit much. And then in that time, Tasha Steelz has gotten a little too close for comfort, or like in some of these dangerous scenarios where Ali's losing his mind, to the point where at first Ali accidentally bumps into nails, I believe with an elbow or something, Tasha during a beatdown. Jason Hotch really didn't like that. John Skyler was kind of ignored it. So everybody, again, getting their own personalities.
That's cool.
And then it all culminated before Against All Odds, Tasha trying to calm Ali down, and he straight up shoves her to the ground. And that's when Hotch stood up to him. He's like, all right, that's my breaking point. He made a point. He said his family, his wife and kid were in the crowd. He's like, I can't watch a man do something like this. This, you know. And so Ali was like,
that's cool.
Basically, for your insolence, you're gonna face me. You're going to face me in a match, and I'll show you. And he kind of beat him back into line, if you will. A little Bloodline-esque, you know, kind of like Roman did with Jay at one point. But something really cool about this match, they went pretty all out. They never punched each other. No man threw a closed fist. Whoa. I thought it was a really cool detail on the match.
Yeah.
And with the idea of like, they wrestled, they drop kicked, they did all, they body slammed, they went pretty hard, but it was kind of like that idea of like, when you fight with your brothers, you go hard, you want to kill each other, but you don't try to punch them in the face. You know, you're throwing them into the wall, you're kneeing them, you're choking them, you're doing all this stuff, but you don't punch them. Cause you're not like, my point isn't to break you, like, truly like hurt you. It's to teach you a lesson. It's to get you to shut up. It's to get you to fall in line. It's to get you to agree with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and then, even in this match, they did that, but then towards the end, Ali got to a point where he could beat Hotch, but did the thing. He picked him up off the mat. And that's what kind of almost sent Skyler, who was on commentary with us, over the edge of just like, I'm all for this being necessary. Oh, but come on, man. You could have beat him. Just beat him. Just pin him, send your message home, and let's be done. And Ali didn't do that. So now even Skyler
is questioning these things.
Is questioning. And that's so cool. The splinters continue to form. And in and amongst all of this, Tasha Steeles is sending text messages and phone calls to a mysterious person.
In the middle of the
asking
match?
Asking for help. No, like these men in backstages and stuff like that. Like, hey, man, you need to get here and talk him down.
Ooh.
I don't know who else he's going to listen to. And ticked off Ali even more. And I can tell you over the next 2 weeks, we'll get even more evolution in this story. And then at our next set of events, it's going to start rolling downhill, and it'll be pretty good.
Ooh.
Nice.
Okay.
And so that's what they've turned this kind of like holding pattern with the group into like, oh, let's blow up everybody's personalities here and let you see more of them.
Yeah.
Jason Hotch is a freaking X Division star, and we need to be doing more with him.
I think, though, as well, that is just an incredibly smart call on TNA side to just, you got to start getting some people and building some new faces, building some new stars, doing some new things. I would even go as far as to say even doing some new gimmicks. And I wanted to give this guy a shout out real fast, because shout out to Cody Deeter, baby, the hometown man. Probably my favorite thing. He comes out dressed in whatever sports jersey of the team that he's in. He's the hometown guy. This is an incredible gimmick. He needs an award. How do we get one of him?
I don't know, man. I said quite. This one, we need some clarification. There was no clarification. I think this was kind of a thing of circumstance. But if we're going to factor it in, I'm like, even when I saw it on paper, I fully admitted, like, we just, like, fired him, right? Like, but
yes, you fired Cody Deeter, but you still have the hometown.
How
man.
Many times? No, like, for the love of God, we just went through this. We just went through this with El Grande, and now we're going through it with Hometown Hero. They are not the same person.
Yeah, no.
Hometown Hero and Cody Deeter are two separate people.
No. Yeah, that's true. I don't agree about Grande and Chad Gable. That's definitely the same person.
This is a different person
entirely. His beard looks completely different. Completely. Mm. It's more narrow. It's not as bushy as it usually is.
What about all the exact same tattoo patterns?
Listen, we went over this with El Grande. People aren't allowed to have the same tattoos. I mean,
but that is 100% Chad Gable, but this is a separate person entirely. I don't know what you guys are seeing.
Further investigation needs to be held.
All right, and moving on to our final point of discussion for today. WWE had quite the weekend, and Money in the Bank happened. Lots of things happened. The whole thing blew up. WWE has blown up over the course of the weekend. It's a lot like our government, and it's very interesting.
No, I like watching this.
That's true. This is an entertaining show.
Right.
So let's dive into Money in the Bank here, fellas, because
more pyro in this one too. I should say.
A lot more pyro, way more cowbell as well. So Money in the Bank, always a fun show because of the briefcase that is on the line for both the men and the women, and we have our winner, Seth Rollins, after. Oof, quite the clash, man. Back and forth, wild moments. Jacob Fatu, hello. And then on the other side, Naomi! Which I feel
I know.
Did I call that? You called that Jake last week. I don't remember who. One of us said Naomi. And
I think you did.
Was it? Okay.
I think you did.
Dude. Wow. So happy that that happened. But let's talk about Seth Rollins first, because that's probably the easiest one. This is an instance of, was it predictable? Yes. But again, that doesn't make it a bad thing, because it very much fits exactly what this stable, this new team needs, which is like something to kind of rally around. That Money in the Bank briefcase being that, Jake. So Seth Rollins has this now. He's basically going to become the next world champion. Mm-hmm. Who does he go for? When does he strike? What do you make of this?
I mean, that's what's so fun about it. I think Seth is going to want to hold on to it for a little while, right? Because he's the ultimate shit stirrer right now. And that's what he wants to do, you know, and the longer that he holds on to that briefcase, like the more dangerous really he is. And I think that that's what he wants. He's trying to sow these seeds of chaos within WWE, and it's all part of this master plan that he seems to think that he has. Right. So it's a, a similar thing of what we're seeing going on here in Los Angeles of like, let's make everything seem worse than it is.
Yeah.
And that's when I attack. I think that's what Seth Rollins is going to do. Ultimately, I think it's that briefcase is a status symbol in a way. Cause like you said, all but guarantees you're the next world champion.
Mm-hmm.
So it puts everybody on notice. It puts everyone on edge. Everyone is on their heels. And that's what Seth Rollins wants.
Yeah.
So I think I wouldn't be surprised just to see him teasing it, right? Like not even to actually come out and turn in the briefcase.
Yeah.
But maybe I just see him like his music hits and he comes out and he just stands up there just stroking that briefcase like, oh, I could do this anytime. Like, I just see him doing that kind of stuff. And that's really what I kind of want to see out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Him just really like teasing. Hey, we got this, you know, like you know where you can go. But see, okay.
Lean into that Joker side of his personality, you know, of like, you know, I have the upper hand. I can do this and ruin your day anytime I want, and I want you to know that I can.
Yeah, Matt, you seem
Matthew
like you have
has thoughts.
Have thoughts.
I do. It's literally been percolating like as we've all been talking.
Okay.
I think I had it originally with another title, but I think it might almost be better because I'm like, how does this work? I don't know how this would work and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. I think I got it. I keep going back and forth. Shoot. No, because originally I thought this would happen with Cena, but when they're booking Punk and Cena for Saudi, which makes me think they're not going to do it again, like later.
And that's so a disappointment. That is a,
it is.
That is the biggest disappointment, I think, above all else. And I'm, yeah, so bummed.
True. That said, I think we're going to get somewhere. I don't know if it's off of Gunther. It probably will be. I don't know if it's at SummerSlam, but I feel like maybe somewhere in the fall, maybe like a Survivor Series. I think CM Punk beats whoever it is, Gunther probably, for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Seth Rollins immediately cashes in on Punk. Because I think they see a lot of money still in this feud. And I think it leads to Punk and Seth at WrestleMania 42 in Vegas, main event. Punk wins a damn title.
Yeah. I could.
And I think that's where Punk finally gets his, he got his Mania main event. I think he wants to win the championship at Mania, truly in his heart of hearts. And so I think that they still see runway and money in that feud. And so I feel like that'll be an elongated with pit stops in between feud over the next year.
And it's confirmed we're going back to Vegas for Mania, which is bizarre, but whatever. So you got yourself a really good story there.
1 year ago, CM Punk walked into this building in the main building, event, the same building, thinking that
Rollins screwed him over with Paul Heyman 1 year. You know what I mean? It does kind of write itself.
And it also does lend into like Seth Rollins saying like that was the most important triple threat match in the history of WWE, which, you know, is sure. Right. But it's it does kind of give itself a little bit of that legitimacy. Jake, what are you gonna say? Sorry.
I tell you something else that I would enjoy seeing. You know, we saw the start of the King of the Ring tournament last night on Raw, and someone I was talking to my betrothed Shauna while we were watching, and I was like, you know what, I'd really like to see Sammy win this. And he won his match, and honestly, after he won that match, I kind of think Sammy's winning King of the Ring, because Sammy deserves something. He deserves something more than that. He deserves the world title, in my opinion. He's been so great. What I think could be interesting and compelling is Sammy wins King of the Ring, and he has a match against Gunther. Seth Rollins comes in and cashes in his Money in the Bank and steals it from Sammy. And then maybe we could see Sammy win the World Heavyweight Championship at like SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know. I think that would
gotta happen with Sammy.
So that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. I feel like something has to happen with Sammy.
Yeah.
Well, we saw Karrion Kross, little devil on the shoulder action.
Right.
Maybe it takes him in a different direction. I don't know.
Yeah, which, you know, also I'm okay with, just because like Sammy's been in this really weird spot where he's been circling around the main event, but yet hasn't really been like.
That elimination. Look back at Elimination Chamber a few years ago when Sammy had that match with Roman. It was the same kind of situation where we knew he wasn't going to win, but my God, did they make you believe? I think Sammy can do this. Everybody wanted Sammy to win that. Everyone wanted him to be the one to dethrone Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do something kind of, you can play on the history between Gunther and Sammy, and then the history of Sammy and Seth. Because we've seen, you know, some interaction between the two of them, and you know, how Seth feels about Sammy now. And this could be a wonderful wonderful moment for Sammy. I would love to see something like
Is Seth
happen?
Being clear in as that he's a heel, because I know in the last couple of weeks he's been like, Sammy and I are friends, but I know they fought, but I don't know like how, you know, like it is. I guess what I'm trying to say is Seth Rollins still trying to act like he's the good guy in this situation, or is it like full on bad faction right now? Yeah. Well, I mean,
Yes. Every bad guy should believe they're the good guy. Yes, right?
In that part, I do. Yeah. I do agree. But he was very specifically not saying like Sami Zayn is, you know, a threat or whatever. But then I know that tone changed. So it doesn't feel like that's the direction we're in right now. It's like full on like Seth and Sami are against one another, right? Because at a point they weren't, right?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, I feel like Seth's made it pretty clear. If you're in my way.
Okay, so then that's it.
Then you're a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's said like, this is the direction that we need to take. You're either with me or you're against me.
Yeah, because I just remember. Because
that's what it calls back. He gave Sami the speech, right? Of basically like, we got no issue with you. Just stay out of our way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was saying. But then he got in their way. So assuming now they have issues. Let's talk about Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes got the pin on John Cena, middle of the ring in the tag team match. But that came only after an assist from The Truth.
A masked assailant.
A masked assailant has returned. Our Truth is back in WWE. But he's not. Actually, yeah, you're right. Our Truth is not back because we found out on Monday Night Raw.
It's a little like that Celebrity Jeopardy. Burt Reynolds. It's not my name. No. Okay. Turd Ferguson. Except this is a serious version of it.
And he is now Turd Ferguson. So, okay. A couple things here. Obviously, we have mentioned this already. We don't talk about behind the scenes stuff, but this is like one of those things that just transcends it. So it's a little odd.
You kind of have to.
I want to be clear here. WWE fired this man. They let him go.
They did not.
Or they ended his contract.
No, they weren't going to renew, which he still had weeks left.
Oh, so he still had dates left, and then they just renewed.
Oh, yeah. He was going to stay at home, collect his last few checks, and be done. Contract expired.
Damn.
But as a result of all this, they obviously re-upped a new deal. So, all of this could be for naught. Like, they could be like, all right, we'll bring him in, have him do like 3 weeks of TV, and then the contract's up. We could all be getting hoodwinked. Let's make some money off shirts, and then we still let the contract.
We don't know if he's like signed for a long time, but I hope he is. Regardless, you know,
I would imagine there's some kind of middle ground. Like he got a little bit longer,
or like they inked a new deal for another 3 years or something. I don't know.
Just something to at least give him a proper send off at the very least.
So now that this is the direction that we're going in here, Truth is back, which we're happy about because we like Truth, regardless of how you feel about what WWE was going to do. At the very least, a guy who's very entertaining, who should always be on our screens because he is so entertaining, is back doing the thing that we all love. So that is a lovely thing. And we're really happy that our Truth, or Ron the Truth Killings, is back in play here. So let's talk about what this means, because he came in and interrupted the matchup, the tag team matchup, attacked John Cena, gave Cody Rhodes the opening. I just feel like with the response and the way things went, like, what do you do with this now, Matt? Where do you go with this?
That's tough, because, I mean, they did the Cena match. So even though he attacks Cena, again, given the limited dates John's doing, you probably don't want to spend one of those on a repeat. They're probably going to get as many, like, one last match
classic
as you can.
Hits,
with a lot of different people that he probably wants to work with. So, like, you can't have him linger on Cena too much. I think that was more of the exclamation point to kick the door back in and this new start, this new jump start to his career and everything like that, with the huge response from the crowd and the locker room and everything like that. So I think you pivot away from John, and I love the promo on Raw. I thought it was awesome. You could put him anywhere. I mean, you could put him in the Intercontinental title chase. I mean, he could slap the piss out of Dom and beat him. You could put him in the path with like Seth, maybe even in this. Yeah. I think, but you put him in a featured program And it's one of the few times, because I've said this a bunch before, when people turn heel, or in this case, turn mega baby face. Yeah. But like when people decide to be like serious, it's always so corny. It's like, I'm going to wear black. And but like this, he is so overdue.
It works. It works.
For a serious run. So for him to just be like, I love him, but all that shit's dead. Mm-hmm. It's time anybody who ever thought I was a sideshow is going to pay. So like, I don't know. You put him in a high profile match with somebody. Give him a Seth, give him an Intercontinental title feud, anything.
Yeah. Ooh, Jake.
Ooh.
We need the graphic. Yep. All right. Some fantasy booking for R-Truth. What do you got?
Look, in a perfect world, what I would love to see out of this R-Truth return is a mix between the Daniel Bryan lead up to WrestleMania 30 and Kofi Kingston's Kofi Mania story.
Ooh.
I would love to see some sort of merger of that. Like, you don't want to disrupt whatever it is that you're doing with Cena, even though a lot of people are not happy what you've been doing with Cena. So can you then insert him in the heavyweight picture somehow?
Yeah, right.
Maybe the
dude deserves it. I'm sorry. The guy deserves, even if it's just a month-long run.
Yeah.
Ron Killings deserves a world championship.
Yeah.
And I would love to see fans get behind him the way they got behind Daniel Bryan and the way they got behind Kofi, because he is another one of those guys that's just like, you have asked so much of him and he has over-delivered every single time.
Yeah.
Like, and now you done fucked up. you done fucked up, WWE. And now you need to pay for it by, as he said, putting some respect on the name of Ron Killings. Give him a title.
That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the damn truth. Dude, man, this is exciting. Exciting just because, been an R-Truth fan for so long, never thought this day would come back again. He had his brief run, you know, where he got that one match against Cena and then things kind of all went a little downhill from there. He had a TNA run that was good though, you know, he had some good moments there. So, you know, I'm hopeful. Matt, anything you want to talk about with True before we move on to
I think Jake hit it on the head. I mean, insert him into the world heavyweight title scene. I mean, the world, especially if we're gonna, assuming we're sticking on Raw, the world is your oyster.
Yeah,
can you imagine him like just with this new attitude, just like running through Judgment Day, like
that would be amazing.
Just like beating them in like 5 minutes each, just like holy crap! All right, let's steer clear of Ron.
That'd be crazy.
Like, and they could all afford the losses, like especially if you kind of had a little tongue in cheek with it, but like he just dominantly like beats them. And it's like, remember that. I'm moving.
I really
here.
Want him to do some squash matches. I know that sounds crazy, but his last match was a squash. I want him to squash someone in his next match back. I think that would be really cool. I think it'll be a fun way to kind of write, like, R-Truth got squash, but Ron the Truth Killings does the squash.
I love the idea of him, of it almost being like Mick Foley versus Mankind. Cactus Jack, kind of like what R-Truth is to Ron Killings.
Sure.
Yeah, where you just see a complete 180 in his character.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool. Before we move on real fast to Jane Gunther, I did want to say real fast, Nikki Bella's back. So that was a fun segment between her and Liv Morgan. Seems like things are going to get interesting there. I would imagine, I don't know, maybe does Brie come back for a tag team title match? Who knows? But I would like the attention to be on Nikki. But it's cool to see Nikki Bella back in WWE. She's going to be wrestling full time, I think, or something like that. Or who knows? Because don't know if you know or not. But we got a new world champion. Yeah, oh my God. And his name is, wait, it's the same dude who held the belt last time. It's Gunther. What the hell's going on? All right, Jake, let's talk about this. I genuinely did not in any world see that one coming. Gunther wins. I thought it was just going to be Jay overcoming the odds.
I mean, that's what I thought, too.
We all talked about.
I'm honestly kind of shocked. I don't know. I've been going back and forth on it. First, I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God, they had Jay lose. They had him drop the title
in front of his children,
in front of his son. Like, so that alone makes me think that we're not done. But like. We got to move on from Jay and Gunther.
Yeah.
Like they've had five matches. Gunther is 4-1 against Jay. Like, I don't know. I don't know what we do, but at the same time, like, I'm not that upset because we don't always need long title reigns.
That's true. I agree with that.
We don't always need these long, you know, year two, three long title reigns. That said, I don't want to see it hot potatoed constantly, but I do like the idea of it. You know, it's this ultimate prize, and the idea of Jay being this vulnerable champion made you like kind of put you on the edge of your seat every match that he had, because you're like, this could be the one he loses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think that that is kind of a fun thing about a champion, is it's of like, it's, you know, you got a target on your back, man. Like, that's not easy. It's not easy to stay at the top. So this idea of like every one of these matches has taken something out of you. And then they built up the fact that, you know, Jay was in this match on Saturday where he got the crap kicked out of him, that, and it's, you know, was that a wise thing for him to do to be in that match? Because now it's softened him up for this one, knowing that it's happened. So Jay is not gone and out of the title picture, but I don't know what his direction is now.
Yeah. It's very weird. Matt.
Yeah.
No, same. I'm not sure. It's back to the drawing board for Jay. I don't think it would be a super fun surprise. I think there's something better. Could he end up being the question mark in the King of the Ring tournament now?
Potentially.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In that one match, there's the one match that has the mystery opponent. I think it is Raw,
and it's a Raw.
Yeah.
It's the part of the Raw bracket.
I do think it'll be a return, just because WWE is a little bit better about that, actually delivering on mystery opponents and stuff.
Mm.
But he could be, you know, I think it is a little bit of a, I think we don't see Jay for a little bit though. I don't think he's out of the main event scene, but I think he maybe sidles away for a couple of weeks.
Look, going back to what I said earlier, could we see a switch in Jay's story where now Jay is helping Sammy win the world championship?
Ooh, maybe. That would be cool. Especially considering that, like, you know, Sammy's done it just like the way Jay did, you know. It was a little shocking. It was shocking because I felt like, man, this was like not what I thought they would do with him. But it's also fine, because that's good. That's okay. Let's go on a ride. Let's see what happens here. Let's see where we go, because no one saw this. I don't think anyone felt like this was a possibility, but it reinforces that you do want to make sure you're paying attention to everything. WWE is very good at that. You know, they know that they could use those opportunities to have those big moments because they have such a large audience as it is. So you don't have to always frontline that stuff for the big shows. They can actually, you know, do it for other things, which I think, I also think AEW can do as well, but they don't do it as much because, you know, you got to sell pay-per-view tickets, whereas WWE's business model is slightly different. That being said, we might as well talk about King of the Ring here, because that's where we're going next. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the winner of this goes on to fight the champion of their choice. Is it the same as last year?
Think so.
Or is it, or I is mean, it the that, champion of your show? Or yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Because there is a Raw. There are eight Raw wrestlers and eight SmackDown wrestlers. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, they are separated into brands. So I would imagine you face your brand's champion.
Got it. Yeah.
I would imagine. I don't know.
Well, in that case, we're going to get a... we're definitely going to get a Raw and a SmackDown guy fighting each other. I don't see a situation where we have a two Raw or two SmackDown. And looking at the list here, I think that is safe to say Sami Zayn more than likely on one side. But then that kind of throws off. Like, yeah, who is the question mark guy? That is...
Which Sami did already win his match.
Sami right? already won, so he moves on.
Yeah.
Yeah, who
maybe that's also Josh Alexander, you know?
You never know, man. Hey, I'll be good for him. He'll be doing
a really short term contract at AEW,
yeah, or he's just back and forth, you know? I mean, guys got to work. Right. Yeah, but I honestly looking at this list, oh, Cody's there, so Cody versus Sammy could be fun. Cody needing to beat Jay would also be fun,
yeah.
And well,
so looking at that question mark match, though, I feel like it's got to be a big boy. Look at the meat in that match. Like,
I mean, yeah. You're not wrong.
Like it's going to end. That's going to be like Omos. Oh, yeah, or Omos something or whatever, like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It feels like it's so made for like, oh, like it's a big meaty men match or somebody really, really small.
Could it? I mean, look. Could it be someone from NXT? Could it be an Obafemi?
Could be.
Bro, Obafemi in that match will be
Obafemi
dope.
Obafemi will go hard as hell.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
I will be watching Monday Night Raw next week.
That's what I'm saying.
That man is, he has single-handedly made me want to watch NXT. His entrance and his matches are, it's the
He's
whole freaking show.
Yeah. He's got presence without a doubt. I think he's due for a call up.
Yeah. Oh man, he is unreal. We'll see. Let us know who you think in the comments. Who you think is the question mark man? Or wait a minute, guys. Could it be the hometown hero Cody Neener? No.
Listen, I was gonna say, could it be Mr. Iguana?
I want Mr. Iguana
to be in that.
So I didn't get a chance to watch Worlds Collide. I'm assuming
I didn't either, but I saw clips I want to watch it now. I heard it was great.
So apparently Mr. Iguana is just like ridiculous. He's yes. Yeah.
He wrestles with a plush iguana who at one point attempted a pinfall.
Yes.
And someone performed. Oh, it was, Vince Dorado, wasn't it? He did a Spanish fly to the iguana.
Yes.
Elbow dropped him.
Nothing
is
better than comedy wrestling.
It's so great.
It is
when
so,
done well.
When done well. Yeah. It's so honestly though, even when it's done poorly, because then you can be like, oh, it's cringe. And then it's still funny. You know, you find the humor even in the bad. All right, we got it pulled up here. This one, looking at it, I see Rhea I can see Rhea. I can see Jade. I could see Alexa.
Listen,
I could see Stephanie Vaquer or Asuka.
I see Jade after Naomi winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you think you get the belt off of Tiffany Stratton then? Or Naomi cashes in on Tiffany?
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I'm okay with Tiff losing the belt right now. I think she had a good WrestleMania match despite the feud and the build being oof. Then had a banger against Nia Jax. It was not a sentence I thought I'd say out loud. And had that happen, and that was a freaking dope-ass match. So right. I think, like, Tiffany's gotten a fair amount of time with the belt. She's clearly a star. She's a future, you know, multi-time world champion. Let's move on. Let's do it. Call, you know, you got to shoot the shot eventually, man. Because I agree, man. Yeah. This whole like year-long title reign stuff, like not every belt needs to have a champion who breaks a record, you know, yep. for how long they hold the belt. It's not all that necessary. So Matt, what do you think? Who do you see coming out of this?
I mean, you've got there's so many.
Chelsea Green. But
they're like they have got a stacked women's division in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are
I would go
so
as far
many.
As to say there are more believable options here than there are on the men's side.
Yeah. 100%.
Because in every single match, I can name at least two people that I think can win. Whereas on the men's side, I don't think I can name two people that I think can win.
You know who else I'd love, though? That rhymes with queen, and who is a queen? Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
I would love to see be queen of the ring.
No kidding.
Chelsea Green would be awesome.
Chelsea Queen?
Chelsea Queen. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Chelsea Queen. Dude, it would
Green
be great.
In the ring.
Asuka's coming back, though, guys.
Yeah. And on a return, you like
and
to
her
go
and
on a
Stephanie Vaquer. Oh, man.
In a match together. And Ivy Nile, too, man. People be sleeping on Ivy Nile. She is.
They do.
She's unfreaking believable, man. She is so good. And then, of course, Raquel Rodriguez is going to be the muscle in the match, just like throwing people around. That's going to be a good one. I think that. And didn't Rhea Carly. Actually, Rhea, Sane, Morgan, and Perez just fought, didn't they? And Roxanne won. Right?
Yeah, Roxanne won. Mm-hmm. So Roxanne's moving on.
So sorry, I missed that one. So then this SmackDown, we're going to have our next matchup. I don't know which one it's going to be of this bunch here, but...
I think it's Jade.
You think it's a Jade one? Yeah, and it's probably going to be Jade. She's due for some big, big wins, you know? She just got like...
And it just makes sense. I mean, that her winning this puts her... I feel like puts her on a collision path with Naomi. Yeah, it just makes too much sense.
And I like to wrap back around on that feud. I think that would be, it was really well done, and there's plenty more meat left on that bone. So it's going to be awesome. Well, of course, that takes us to the end of the show. We know that you guys are going to miss us so much this week. Trust us, we understand. But the good news is you could join us on Discord. That's right. You just click the link down below. You could join a community, interact with a bunch of folks who like just talking about pro wrestling storylines in a positive manner that doesn't require people being douchebags to one another. It's amazing. Okay? So why don't you get your butt over there and join us? We'd love to have you. And while you're at it, why don't you go and check us out at www.rebookpod.com. There you can find links to the podcast, all of our social platforms, all that stuff. And if you happen to, you know, use Blue Sky, that's also our name, rebookpod.com. That, of course, though, brings us to our final segment of the show. And you already know what it is. It is the Rebooked 24/7 Champion of the Week. This, of course... is
Professor Nordberg? That's
what
that sounded like.
This is the segment where we talk about the person, place, or thing that brought us the most joy in the world of professional wrestling this week. And Matt, you and I have the same one.
Oh, were you going to do that too?
So I'll let you go ahead and do the honors
I think that's fair. We get to do a joint selection because it's worthy. Show the graphic. Show the picture.
I'm pulling it up right now.
AEW, good on them. They have released probably one of my favorite shirts for Ricochet. Stop bald shaming. A freaking men.
I am buying this shirt. And
I might too.
I am buying the shirt and because I'm going to go to All In and I am going to wear this at All In. And I will be bald at All In. And I'm very excited to... I might even carry a sign.
Dude, there's going to be a bunch of bald and shaved head dudes who are going to buy it. Like, that's a smart look. When it feels like it's too specific, but when you can rally a specific community.
Yeah.
Bro.
And there's nothing more specific than the follicly challenge, baby. You know what I mean? So we out here. No, I'm getting this shirt 100%. I told Cynthia she's like, my wife, and for our viewers who may not know, and she's just like, oh, but that's just another black shirt, man. I was like, yeah, but think about the text. Think about the message it sends. Yeah. Think about the powerful statement, the uplifting words of our head bald man, Ricochet. Stop shaming bald men. I'm with you on that one. Jake, who's your Reebok 24/7 champion of the week? And I swear to God, if it's not that shirt, be mad.
I mean, I don't even think it matters who I nominate because I'm out balling.
No, it matters. This is still a democracy, okay? This isn't the United States government. Go on.
No.
All
right.
Man, I don't know. I went so back and forth. My brain is so fried right now from working 5 days in a row, 12 hours a day, getting ready for IGN Live and running IGN Live. So I didn't get to watch a whole lot this week, but I do want to give a 24/7 nomination to their finally being an Xbox handheld.
Dude, oh my God, I was literally pulling this up. I was like, if I don't have anything to give you, this is going to be the thing I'm going to give you. And
I am so happy, stoked that there's finally going to be an Xbox handheld. It's going to be more expensive than I can probably afford, but nonetheless, I'm telling Santa, this is what I want for Christmas.
I mean, so thrilled about this because my buddy owns.
It's going to run Xbox games. It's going to run Steam games, Battle.net, like all of it.
He owns the ROG Ally.
Steam Deck already do all of this?
So yes,
it doesn't run Xbox games.
Yes, it does
run. You can't run the game pod.
You can. You can, but it's not optimized for it.
Okay.
So while the Steam Deck is an incredible piece of machinery, and I think if you are contemplating a handheld console to get, the Steam Deck should definitely be at the top of your list. What makes the ROG, the Asus ROG Ally console so good is that it's a optimized Windows-based platform.
Windows 11,
and
right.
Microsoft went in this sumbitch, which they've never done before, and they optimized and streamlined. They removed so much of the Windows bloat that infects our computers. They removed all of that because all that crap was in the old ROGs. So now these have like this streamlined version of Windows that just runs games.
They reworked an Xbox app that will assist with that. And now that they're introducing Xbox Play Anywhere that lets you pick up progress anywhere and cloud gaming and all that, come on.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Come on. I can play Rivals now anywhere using my account. So, I'm on board.
And you can dock it. Woo. You can connect it to a monitor. So it's basically like, and when they say it's an Xbox, it's a freaking Xbox. It's like, just a third part. I love
the contoured grip.
Yeah.
It does look
like the Xbox controllers.
Contoured for his pleasure.
Oh, man. Yes, absolutely it is. You damn right.
It's going to be sick. Yeah, the ROG Xbox Ally X. That is a worthy one. I don't know who to give it to this week.
Not the balds.
Giving it to the balds. We win. But let me tell you, Xbox Ally X, if it wasn't for Ricochet's incredible marketing tactics, I would have given it to the Xbox Ally X. That would have been dope.
Understood.
That is our show today, everyone. We thank you so much for watching. As always, we appreciate you. As I mentioned before at the top of this, make sure you join us on Discord. You can check us out in the description down below. Of course, you can go to www.rebookpod.com to find out where you can listen to the podcast, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, right here on YouTube as well. And be sure to follow us across social media. That's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll catch you next week for more Rebooked. Peace.